Okay, city council meeting. City council meeting for Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019 is called to order. Invocation by Father Jim, St. Thomas by the Catholic Sea. Catholic Church, I'm sorry. Followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Name of Father and Son, Holy Spirit. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, whose goodness fills our hearts with joy. Blessed are you who have brought us together this day to work in harmony and peace. Strengthen us with your grace and wisdom, for you are God forever and ever. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Father. Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Costo?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kenan?
Here. Entertain a motion considering tonight's agenda.
Move to approve the agenda with two additional items, the first being approval of a liquor license for the Perdido Beach Resort, the second, a resolution approving the appointment of special counsel for opioid litigation.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Consideration of previous minutes from our regular council meeting, committee of the whole of 8-6-19, work session of 8-12-19. For no objections, read the minutes, will be waiving corrections to the minutes. No corrections to the minutes, stand approved as written. Any announcements? Thursday night's our first Mako football game.
Woo-hoo.
So please spread the word. We'd like to have about 10,000 people there.
Perdido?
Playing Perdido, yes.
Perdido, yes.
Yep. So it's a special, also, special event.
But also, Mayor, I want to congratulate the girls' volleyball team for bringing home a trophy. And also, their first match was against Foley and brought home a win.
They didn't just win. They dominated.
They dominated.
Oh.
I mean, it was bad.
It was bad.
I liked it.
The assistant coach from Foley is my sister-in-law, and she even said exactly what the mayor said. The Makos dominated.
And now I feel bad. Didn't know it was your kinfolk, man. But it's been a long time coming, having our own school. And it's a special, special time. And I hope all the community will support our school, not just the parents that have kids there, but everybody. And it can be something special for us all if we do that.
Now, Mayor, the Thursday night game is up at Perdido, right?
No, it's at home.
Are we playing at home?
It's at home.
Okay.
It's our first home game at Sportsplex at 6 o'clock.
Okay. 6 o'clock.
I hope I'm right.
Yes, you are. Right.
So,
yes, you are.
I said that with authority, didn't I? Like I knew what I was talking about.
Mark's in the
Everyone
back.
Will
he
be
said
calling
yes,
you.
Thumbs up.
Somebody might want to text the principal. So hopefully we'll have an answer before we'll find out. What
no,
okay,
we are
good,
definitely
okay.
at
6 o'clock
at
Thursday
6
night
o'clock.
At Sportsplex.
Bring a chair.
Because there will be a lot of people there. We only have limited seating. Okay. Any other announcements? Town hall meeting October the 1st to talk about growth, transportation, frustration, and anything else anybody wants to talk about. We've invited Mr. Cooper. He had a conflict, but he's trying to work it out and see if he can come to shed light on our road projects. We'll have our school administrators there for questions about school. So hopefully we can define and everyone will know exactly where every project and what stage we're in, because it just seems like it's been a long time, but I think things are fixing to start happening. So if we can get Mediacom to do their job.
Yeah. But they're too busy writing letters right now.
Yeah. Anybody that wishes to call Mediacom and harass them, please feel free to use my name. We are held up on the fifth lane on Canal Road because Mediacom has not moved their cable, and they've had a year to do it. So we think we have found a stranglehold that's making that happen, hopefully, Kit, this week, maybe.
Well, they were showing signs that they were going to get started, but there's been another delay, and also CenturyLink is holding it up.
Yeah.
So it's two and two.
Yeah.
Well, it's two peas in a pod there.
It's kind of normal notice. We'll be late normal.
You would. I wish we could run them out of town. That's what I wish we could do. But anyway, that's where we are.
We're having a meeting with the utility
What time? Where at? Email me. Mayor, can I attend that?
We all attended. Everybody can attend fine.
I think so.
Do you need support?
I'll be happy to let y'all know when the meeting's up. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Any other announcements? Auditing of accounts.
Move to certify the cash requirements with no related interests are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest in Swift Supply are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Okay, we have a couple of a presentation, but we also have swearing in of our new officers and service tags. So, who's chief? You want to take you over from here?
Yes, sir. Just make sure we got them all. Okay, first, I'd like to introduce to you Ronald Gregson. Or do I say Greg? This goes by Greg. Come on up, Greg. Oh, come over here, please. This is one of our new part-time officers. Greg actually came to us from Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. He's been there over 20 years. He's got a lot of experience there from the jail, special victims unit investigations, and of course patrol. And he was certified in 1996 with A Post. 24 years in the Marine Corps, deployed to Desert Shield, Desert Storm, Iraq. And he's chosen to retire, come down here, and we have him in a part-time capacity, and we're happy to have him. So I just wanted to introduce you to Officer Sanders.
Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome.
We'll swear everyone in together as soon as I introduce them to you. Seth McVickers. Come on down, Seth. Seth is another one of our part-time officers. He is currently attending Coastal Community College. He's pursuing his associate's degree in business management. He served 8 years in the U.S. Army. He's deployed overseas several times. And after his career, he did get his APOS certification in 2013. He has served for both Auburn and Gulf Shores Police Department. He is now, I'll just say, chosen wisely. Yes. He is working here with us part-time. And we're happy to add him as he continues to work on getting his degree. So, Officer McVickers, he's doing
welcome.
Well.
Glad you're here, buddy.
Finally, Officer Lanford. And nobody should be, this shouldn't be a surprise to anybody or, I guess, a well-known name. Hunter was with us as a support services technician for 2 years. Local, been here in Orange Beach for quite some time, so we did have him for 2 years first, and he was accepted into the academy and graduated in May of this year, and is just wrapping up his field training at this point, and he is on the street, and I'm sure you've seen him around. It's great. Everybody knows his dad,
yes,
who is chief with the fire department as well, so I present Officer Lanford, who is full-time. Just one more introduction, Judge. This one you don't have to swear in, though. Tyler. Mm-hmm. Another one of our locals here. Tyler is married to Corey. They have a 14-month-old son, Everett. He is native to the area, as you all know. Actually, he was working at Swift Supply. He's one of our new support services technicians. And as you know, they play a vital role daily here for us. He just started with us. What it says? Has it been a month yet?
I think right about a month.
We're right about a month. So he is here and filling, as I said, a vital role, particularly with the fact that school started. So you see him out in the zone every morning. So please welcome Tyler Flowers. And his, I'll front you out, Mr. Silvers. This is his uncle up here as well. He's doing a great job. Judge Bracken, I have everything here for you, sir.
y'all noticed, but there's a theme here. We enjoy or like to hire locals and veterans.
Yeah.
So
that's
they right. always rise to the top when we're looking for folks, and we appreciate them. All righty. We have another presentation. We have a donation.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. I'm Dave Langford. I live at 5089 Wilson Boulevard here in Orange Beach, and I work for Goodwin Mills in Kaywood. I have David Parker, who's our business development, and Doug Bailey, who's in our Daphne office. And the reason I'm here is living in the neighborhood, we've been here about a year, and we live about a half a block from the C-Sand and Stars building. And me and my wife went there one Thursday afternoon after lunch, had an opportunity to go, and really didn't know the sign out front was really, I didn't know what was back there until we finally went to visit. And I was really impressed with what I saw and what the function of the facility was doing for the kids. And I was also impressed with Miss Nicole Bryant. She was a little lady there that, that introduced us to the facility and took us around and went into the planetarium and saw some of the things. And in talking with her, you know, if you listen to people real closely, you'll see whether or not they care about what they do. And during that process, I could see her passion. And you could see things in her eyes that she wanted to do. And so I told her, I said, you know, I work for a company that the theme of our company is building communities, and it's just not about the business. It's about the people that live in your community where you are. And I'm a part of this community now. And so I kind of just mentioned to her that our company does things from time to time to help. And so make a long story short, she mentioned a couple of things that she that needed, and you know, you always have needs, but sometimes you have wants. And so she mentioned one particular thing that she wanted. But in any event, I went to my company and I said, look, this is my community and I want some money. So I guess I've been there long enough that they didn't kick me down the road because of asking. But I don't know if anyone's here from
the principal.
Yes, sir.
Come on up.
It's Ryan Moss,
Ryan.
Elementary school principal.
Yes.
I haven't had a chance to meet you, but it's
nice
great to
you.
Meet you.
You
know, maybe this is just a start, but here's a check for $500 to help for some wants or whatever you think you need to do over there. And because I'm a part of the community and that's in my neighborhood,
yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
There's a little check for me and my wife.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I love the kids.
Well, we will use it for them to make their world better.
That'd be great.
Thank
you,
sir.
I got a couple other things I want to say. When I went into the facility, looked around. I hope I'm right, but there's about a 5,600 gallon fish tank. And so I went up to look at this fish tank, and there's two fish in there. One of them was a drum. And I'm sitting and I asked her about it, and she said, well, the captains are now out making profit. And we don't, you know, the fish have died. So
we've got more already.
Okay. Because I was fixing a petition to go hit the captains to see if they could help us. So, but anyway, I want to thank you for the opportunity to allow us to do this. And I love the facility. And anytime I'll try to give you my card, and anytime we can help in anything, we'll be more than happy to. And if anybody, is willing to dig in their pocket and put a dollar or something in this man's pocket before he leaves tonight. I hope that's okay to say that.
I'm upstanding, sir.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you for the time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
David, a personal thank you to your company for that. I appreciate it. David, yeah. You live down in Gulf Shores, and Doug and all of them, we've got relationships that they've done some stuff for us in the past with other companies and stuff, so we appreciate that. And you and your wife, thank you for your personal donation, too. But thank you for your company. It means
appreciate
a lot.
It. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Ryan, welcome to the Mako Nation.
Yeah. Ryan, we have a dress code here. Because y'all beat a team I potentially dislike more than Auburn, I'm not going to call you down for your tie tonight, okay? Well, you get a pass, that's all. So. All right, anything else? Anybody else? Anybody else want to bring some money?
Yeah.
You can talk all you want if you write a check.
That's right.
So.
Unlimited.
All right, moving on to unfinished business under resolutions. Resolution accepting negotiated price for used full-size SUV, $35,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? An ordinance is second reading. Ordinance amending Chapter 50 of the City Code, Article 12, impose additional licensing requirements on persons engaged in business of selling industrial hemp or hemp extracts.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Mayor, may I just clarify that if you currently sell these products, such as a drugstore or a convenience store, you are now required to comply with the ordinance.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Sir?
Yes?
Can I ask a
sure.
Yeah. My name is Chase Smith. I live in Foley. Quick question. People that are already here selling the product, are they going to be grandfathered in from these requirements, or are they going to be? Everybody's going to have to stick by.
Right.
Everybody. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Hey, that puts it out there. It's a fair game. But everybody's on the same level.
That's a good question, Chase. Thank you.
Thank you for your patience, too, with us. We really appreciate it.
We learned a lot because of it.
We did. And I think it was...
Can we vote on my license soon?
What is that?
Can we vote on my license then?
Tonight?
Well, we can't tonight. We got to do away with the moratorium, I think.
Yeah, that's right. We'll have to repeal the moratorium.
Yep, put it on the next agenda.
Okay. Well, let's see how we get. This is going to be 2 weeks. He's paying bills. Is there any way we can do it all right now?
You can add it to the agenda.
Yeah. Are y'all good with that? Because he's paying another 2 weeks is just costing him.
Shouldn't be much to word to release the moratorium.
Yeah. You need a motion.
We have a motion on the floor.
There's a motion on the table now.
Yeah, it was just amend.
We'll finish this one and then.
A motion to add the item to the agenda, and then once it's been added to the agenda, then you can vote to repeal the.
So to be clear, we're going to finish voting on what we're dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
We'll add an item to remove the moratorium.
Correct.
And then we're going to add an item for his business license?
No, and then you're going to vote on the moratorium, and then once the moratorium is lifted, he'll be able to get a business license through regular procedures.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Renee.
All right. Thank you all for doing that. So let's vote on this. Call the roll, please.
Did I get a second?
Yes. Who seconded? Jeff? Okay.
Jody.
No.
Joan.
I made the motion.
Oh, you made the motion.
Okay. Jeff seconded.
All right. Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes. Entertain a motion to
amend the agenda to add an additional item.
I move to approve to amend our agenda to add an additional item, and that would be the
to repeal the moratorium.
Moratorium that we had on the CBD license, business licenses.
Effective immediately.
Correct.
Okay. Have a second?
Second.
Okay. Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes. Okay. Get it tomorrow.
And then vote on the actual moratorium. So you just added.
I got you. Okay. Entertain a motion to repeal the moratorium.
So moved.
Second.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costo?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes, thank you. And Ford, you'll take care of him tomorrow. All right.
Thank you, Jack.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Hope you do well. Moving to new business under miscellaneous additional, approve the special retail liquor license for Gulf Beach Hotel, Perdido Beach Resort.
Move to approve the liquor license.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution. Resolution authorizing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Resolution authorizing execution of the Gold Mesa Grant Agreement with the Alabama Department of Conservation, Natural Resources, mitigate marine debris, $1,314,500.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? This is a big deal.
Yep.
This
huge.
Is a lot of money.
It's a five-year grant.
5 years?
Yes.
Yeah. I think this is the first time we've gotten any money from Gold Mesa.
Yes.
So this is a big one. Thank you. Where's Philip? Who you, Philip?
Wade is here.
Well, one time I was actually going to praise him, and he didn't show up. Well, thank y'all. Appreciate it. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of a task order. Davis Architects, Professional Architectural Engineering Services, Adult Fitness Center, $236,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. For those who do not know, we're building a new adult rec center by Camp Sunshine and the swimming pool. Essentially, will be, like I said, all adults will move over there. The current rec center will then become essentially a children, student center, rec center, athletic complex, whatever you want to call it. But we're out of room, and we got more folks, and we know what to do using all of it. So this is going to be nice, very nice. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of a task order with Davis Architects. Engineering services, baseball, softball field renovations, not to exceed $109,500.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. This is to renovate and create a first-class men's baseball field for our high school and a women's softball field at the sports place. Any discussion? Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of a task order with Davis Architects for a new field house, practice facility, Orange Beach High School, not to exceed $356,288.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. This is for the new athletic complex on campus that will be unique to most all athletic complexes in Alabama, or probably in the nation, because it will be co-ed. And girls and guys will have equal training facilities and train at the same time without co-mingling, except when we want them to co-mingle. So, but it is going to be state-of-the-art with a covered, essentially indoor practice field. It'll be 50 yards long and regulation 50 yards wide. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Mayor, let's say one thing on all of those, like we did on the gym, that these are based on the estimates that we have as a percentage basis. Is that correct, Stead? So down the road on all these projects, because they're all pretty large, there may be tweaking and adjustments at the end, like we did on the gym. So just remember.
And these are projects that we established last year that we're working on when we reached out to these architectural firms and vetted them all.
Yeah,
we're
yes,
just now
yes,
coming.
This is still the Davis McCullough.
That's right.
Instead being here.
But, right. That yeah, we planned.
And Stead's been fantastic to work with, run right over. He takes care of us at the last minute because it's always a change. And then Mr. Davis has a significant experience in the athletic
yes.
realm and fitness realm. So yes. it's been a breeze, easy to work with him. Thank you.
Jim
Hartz. I'm sorry. Jim Hartz with Davis. Okay, do we vote? Resolution authorizing the franchise for Gulf Logistics, doing business as Gulf Limousine, provide a limiting service within the city limits.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? In addition, resolution approving the appointment of Riley and Jackson, PC, special counsel, represent City of Orange Beach, in the prosecution of legal claims against manufacturers, distributors of opioids.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? For those, this was difficult for me because philosophically, I'm struggling with suing over something like this, because I don't know how much is personal accountability and responsibility versus medical fraud and malpractice, probably a combination of all the above. But the bottom line is the county has entered into the suit. The awards, the monies will probably flow through the counties. If we're not involved in the suit, we don't have a seat at the table. And I've learned my lesson. We've learned our lesson about not being at the adult table and being at the child's table. Children's table doesn't work very good. So that's why we've made the decision that for sure we want to be in this if there are any monies awarded that come this way.
Well, this national problem affects every community, whether it be ours or wherever. And we know that. Bigger cities, of course, we understand are more major problems. But it's an epidemic.
And the issue is the safety of our residents. Your quality of life goes down due to this situation. So that's why the city is getting involved in it. Maybe a few hundred dollars that would be out and be distributed, or maybe several hundred thousand, we don't know. But we need to be at the table.
Anyone else like to add to that? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, moving to public hearings. Okay, the first one is the zoning ordinance, Public Works Department property. Then we'll have one on Broken Sound PUD, final approval, and then Hammock Dunes PUD phase two. Public Works should go pretty quickly. I hope pretty quickly.
Yes.
But the way we do this is there's a presentation on each project. Council then has the opportunity to question. Then we open it up to the floor for any comments, questions, thoughts, then close the floor and move back to the council. Griffin, please.
Yeah, this first application is case number 0801RZ19. This is located southeast corner of Roscoe Road and Russian Road. It's approval to zone 19 acres that was recently annexed into the city to general business for the purpose of a new facility for the Public Works Department. Planning Commission considered this at their meeting last month, gave it a favorable recommendation on an 8-0 vote. July 2019, the city annexed the property to the corporate limits. This was previously in the Baldwin County Planning District 30, and it was on RA, rural agricultural. And if we go to the next slide, we see the county zoning map at the time. But again, we're going to general business. And if you go to the next slide, this is aerial. It's right next to the Orange Beach Commerce Park. Let me go to our next slide. Again, contains 19 acres, obviously meets the GB zoning requirement. It's next, again, to the Commerce Park, across the road from the vacant NB zone property and northeast of Baldwin EMC and Columbia Southern, and the again, proposed land use is a facility for the Public Works Department.
Thank you, Griffin. Mm-hmm. Any questions for Griffin? Okay. Tim hit... had to go back to the dock today, so he's out tonight. But I think it's pretty straightforward. I don't know. We got to move it. So this is a great place. So. All right.
And just for everybody to know, the building to the Baldwin EMC, Griffin, I don't have a pointer, but the building that you see, yeah, right there, that's basically what our building will look like, very similar. So when you look at our site and you add the asphalted or concreted area around it, it'll be a very similar structure to that. So when you see that, that's a really good fit for where we are. Still gives us the 20 acres to develop in the future when we're ready, when we find the right prospect, and that'll be part of our gateway in.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, anybody in the public comment? Okay, if not, we'll close the public hearing. Next one is Broken Sound PUD, final approval.
Yeah, this is at the northeast corner of Louder Lane and Pelican Place. It currently is zone RM-2. That's multifamily residential high density. Again, this is approval for final PUD to rezone 7.5 acres from RM-2 to plan unit development for residential development containing 40 single-family residential lots. Planning Commission heard this at their meeting last month, gave it a favorable recommendation on an 8-0 vote. This application, Broken Sound, received the preliminary approval, PUD approval, in March 2019, and there are no changes from the preliminary approval. Next slide. Just project overview, 40 lots. There are three housing types, two three-bedroom and one four-bedroom. Four parking spaces will be located in front of each house. Part of those will be on the individual lots in a 16-foot sidewalk parking easement, and then the remainder of that parking space will be in the private right-of-way. There will be 20 exterior or guest parking spaces. These will be unreserved. They're located on the east side of the property near the lake and gazebo area. A 40-foot right-of-way that's private, 24-foot roadway, broken sound loop. 41% of the project's common space. Again, there's a sidewalk 5 foot wide is located in front of the houses on the private lots. And that sidewalk will connect with the Louder Lane sidewalk that's on the west side of that roadway. Next slide. Again, continuing with the project overview, they will have rentals that will be long-term. And if you look at the by-right scenario, this is currently zone RM2. You could do condominiums and apartments. But if you did a one or two floor apartment or condo, you could get up to 119 units on the property. If we go to the next slide, this is the proposed master plan. Next slide. This is a typical lot layout. Average lot size, a little over 3,700 square feet. The front setback is 18 feet, rear setback 8 feet, and side setbacks 5 feet. Again, a 40-foot right-of-way and the road's 24 feet. Next slide. These are the residential dwellings, typical that was provided by the applicant. Building heights, two floors, three to four sleeping rooms. They'll have four parking spaces in front of each house, so they will meet the parking requirements. And also they have 20 overflow spaces. Next slide. When we look at, again, you know, the single family use, we look at what, you know, the underlying zoning is RM2, what would be required in it, and also the single family or the RS. And when you look at lot size, lot width, and setback, it's less than what it would be normally required in RM2 or RS for a single family lot. Waivers from the subdivision regulations deal with the right-of-way width being 40 instead of 60 and the sidewalk location being on the private lots instead of in the right-of-way. Next slide. We look at another component of this project is a dedication of the property near the intersection of Louder Lane and Canal Road that will be used for improvements to that intersection. You see that on the screen. Next slide. This is the Louder Pelican subdivision, the arrow indicating lot 5. That's where this project will be located. Next slide. This is just the existing zoning map. Next slide. This is an aerial map. And next slide. Another look at the master plan. Next slide. And conditions, just approval of the waivers to the zoning ordinance and the subdivision regulations.
Kit Alexander, Community Development Director. Staff would like to make the request that you, in your motion, add that you would like to include as this motion the requirement that a six-month rental term minimum is required for this PUD. If you don't attach it to the motion, then it will not be a condition of the PUD.
Thank you, Kit.
Thank you, Kit.
Any questions? Any thoughts? Kit, was there a second recommendation that we talked about, or am I confusing it with some other, another project?
Is this, they're still going to do the lane?
The lane.
The lane.
They're providing us the property.
The property for that turn. Right turn lane.
And I know we know that there's a need for a traffic signal there.
Right.
We're tasking out on that. They don't seem to agree, but we got to figure out a way to.
We're going to take that on.
Okay.
And we're talking to the consultant you sent my way.
Yes.
Yes. I'm waiting on the cash flow.
But anybody from that Louder Lane area, please know that we are trying our best to get a red light at that intersection. It is state, and they do make the final determination, but we're trying. Okay, then we'll open up for comments from anybody on the floor. Any thoughts, questions? Okay. One last time, the property was a high-density piece of property, and because it was a high-density piece of property, we compromised on setbacks. Houses are closer together than normally or than most of us would want in a neighborhood, but it is a very fair trade-off considering the density possibilities with apartments, condos, or whatever might have been built there by right. So it's a PUD. PUD sometimes has an ugly connotation, but we try to use it to create situations where we reduce density or improve the quality of the project based on the people who live around it. And I think we did a service here for all those folks, because I don't think anybody would want 119 units packed crammed in there on Louder Lane. So, but any thoughts on that before we give the thumbs up or thumbs down? So, all right. Thank you. Council, y'all good? Move forward. All right. Next one is the Hammock Dunes PUD Phase 2.
Yes, this project's located at 23926 and 23916 Perdido Beach Boulevard. It's west of Phoenix West. This modification request, there's two zoning designations. There's the RS1, there's PUD, which is the existing Hammock Dunes. This is approval of a major PUD modification to rezone 1.74 acres from RS1 to PUD for inclusion into the Hammock Dunes PUD. And on this property, that's between the existing Hammock Dunes and Phoenix West, they will keep the existing single-family dwelling and then add 11 cottages. Plan Commission heard this at their meeting last month. The motion for a favorable recommendation was denied, so it comes to you with an unfavorable recommendation. The Hammock Dunes PUD was approved in January 2018. The PUD has 11 dwellings, two existing houses, and nine new cottages. The next couple of slides, this is the existing Hammock Dunes plan unit development. So next slide. Okay, next slide. All right, next slide. All right, next slide. This is the existing map. The property to the west or to the left, that's the Hammock Dunes Phase 1 planning unit development. To the right, you have the Kearns property that is zoned RS1. Again, that's what we're trying to rezone to PUD to add to the planning unit development. Project overview, next slide. Again, that property is zoned RS1. It currently contains a 10-bedroom house. We've always called it the Blue House, but this modification will add 11 new cottages onto the Kearns property. There are five cottages will be two-bedroom, and then six cottages will be three-bedroom. And it would be very similar to the Hammock Dunes slides that you just saw a moment ago. Five of the small lots, that'll be 40 by 35, again, similar to what you have on Hammock Dunes Phase 1. Then there'll be six larger lots, 38 by 44. They'll be along the east property line, and those will be for the three-bedroom. The small lots will have a 6-foot side setbacks. That'll be a 12-foot building separation. And then the larger lots will have a 5-foot side setback. That'll be a 10-foot building separation. There'll be a stacked parking underneath the structure. The 10-bedroom house will have 10 parking spaces in front of the structure, and there will be three unreserved guest overflow parking spaces. We go to our next slide. This shows what's currently there on Phase 1. Again, we have two existing structures, nine new cottages. That's 11 total units. If we go to the next slide, what is proposed with Phase 2 on the Kearns property, where you have one existing structure, 11 proposed cottages for 12 total dwellings. Go to our next slide. So they'll give us three existing structures, 20 new cottages, 23 total dwellings, and the density goes from 6.4 to 6.6 in this planned unit development. Next slide. And this is the proposed master plan. It's going to be, again, you see where phase one and phase two is located. It's sort of a U-shaped drive. It will be a one-way traffic flow. Next slide. The small lots are the two-bedroom lot size, about 1,400 square feet. There's no front setback. The rear setback is 5 feet, and the side setbacks are 6 feet. Building heights, 3 floors. Again, they require two parking spaces. They're providing two. Next slide. And this is just an architectural elevation of the two-bedroom cottages. Next slide. We'll go to talk about the large lots. These are the three-bedroom lot size, 1,672. Rear and side setbacks, 5 feet. The building heights, 3 floors. They require 3 spaces. They're providing 3, as shown on the screen. And the next slide shows you the architectural elevation of those. Next slide. We look at zoning ordinances and subdivision waivers. Again, you know, when you compare, if you were doing this in RS, lot size, lot width, setbacks less than what is normally required for the RS. Subdivision waivers, the right-of-way, roadway width, sidewalks, and roadway materials, they're asking for waivers from that. So if we go to the next slide, with the Kearns property, the again, it's currently zoned RS1, and we had asked, you know, sort of to justify your rezoning from that, and the applicant provided the response at the Planning Commission that they felt that the RS1 zoning was an outlier considering the surrounding zonings that you have in that area, that being BR2, planned unit development, general business, and RM-1. Phoenix West, again, is located to the east, 225 total units, and it has a net density, and that's being, if you measure it from the lot area north of the CCO, or the coastal construction line, being 62.5 units per acre. Hammock Dunes with this phase is 11.5. Again, the building coverage, building heights less than what would normally be required in zoning, and the modifications in line with the Hammock Dunes phase one and the Romar Villas planned unit developments to the west. Go to our next slide. That's just the zoning, current zoning map. Next slide. This is an aerial map. And next slide, staff conditions, is approval of waivers to the zoning ordinance and subdivision regulations, providing a collection system in the 182 right-of-way and conveyance to the proposed stormwater management facility, and providing revised POA documents. That's it.
Thank you, Griffin. Good presentation, buddy. Appreciate it. Any questions?
Question.
Yes, ma'am.
Griffin,
yes.
Would you go back to the overview?
Okay.
No, you're going too far, way too far. It was like the next slide back, that one. What is that to the west of Hammock Dunes?
That is the Nordic Villas plan unit development.
Dr.
Or
Gustafson?
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Do you remember Dr. Gustafson who sit on the...
Thank you very much.
Nordic Villas.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Griffin? Okay. Anybody? Public hearing is open. Floor is open. Greg?
I'm Greg Kennedy. I'm the developer. And I'm here today as the developer. What we're asking y'all to do is rezone this to PUD. And, you know, we'll remodel the house and build the buildings, and it'll be a profit center for KO Investments. But I'm also here today as a citizen of Orange Beach. I live here, my business is here, my kids live here, and in 2 weeks I'll have a granddaughter that lives here. So I get the not upzoning property, especially as it relates to conventional neighborhoods. This is not a conventional neighborhood. I had a discussion today with with Griffin, and we searched up and down the beach to see if there was any other property uniquely positioned like this, where you have extreme high density on one side, higher density on the other, commercial across the street, and a piece of property that zones single-family residential. And I think if you consider this house, it's never been, the use has never been single-family residential. The use has been as a small hotel. It's rented out every week. Before, you know, this summer, it's in a poor state of repair right now. But when you consider that this the idea of a family moving here, buying a house, living in it, and, you know, going to school and it being a conventional single family house, I think the chances of that are none. So and just a little history about this house. It was built in the early 90s. M.D. Price, guy from Mobile, built a building. And in the early 2000s, this property was actually a part of the Nordic Villas PUD. It was under contract by the folks, by Dr. Gustafson. They did some modifications, and the folks that was involved in that was going to end up with a bigger piece on the west side for a high rise. Well, you know, the market collapsed and a few other unsavory things happened, and it didn't happen. But I think that in considering this, on our piece, we could have put, and we demonstrated, we could have put, I think, 34 units on our property alone, just on the piece we already have, and provided parking. The density calculation allowed for 60-some-odd units, but you couldn't provide parking for that many units. But we did demonstrate we could put 33 or 34. So the combination of both of these pieces is still under that. This would be 23 total units over 200 feet. So we're still under what we could have done by right. So I think it makes sense in a situation like this. And I know you guys have a very difficult job. And I know that upzoning is not what Orange Beach wants to do. But I think this is wholly different. This is on the beach. It's in a high-density part of the beach. This isn't East Orange Beach. This isn't Bear Point.
Greg, how big could you build a single family residence if you chose to build it as big as you wanted it to?
In addition to that one?
Yep. Or if you tore that one down and decided you wanted to build one there, how large could you build it?
Well, you got a 30-foot front yard setback, and you can build all the way to the CCL. So it would be, you could build it 80 feet wide by 200 feet long, 240 feet long.
And it's in the zoning that you can rent it weekly if you want to. And my point of that is, if there's ever a time that I'm willing to upzone, it would be this, because of what sits next to it on both sides, not just one, but contiguously. And it just makes sense. I wouldn't buy the property and put a single home there. It's used now as a wedding reception home. It's a business. And it's one of the ones I think that we had it zoned, and when we went back and restructured, we downzoned it back. And I'm just going to, it's probably the first time and only time you ever hear we're going to say this, but I don't have an issue with this one. It's a tough one because I always try to respect what the planning committee does. I went and looked at it. I was out there the other day specifically to see it, and it just makes sense at this location. So I appreciate what y'all are trying to do with it, and I think it fits here. It's just my two cents.
And I concur with that. I went out there and looked at it, too, and it is tough because we had said we wouldn't upzone in a residential neighborhood. At least that's what I had said. And we haven't done that. But this is not a residential neighborhood. This is commercial. So I like what you've done in phase one. I think phase two would add value to it. It is lower density, which we've been trying to accomplish also. It's lower density than by right what they could put there.
No, it's RS1, so by right, they can only put a single-family residence.
True.
They can put two.
But when we're doing a PUD, their density is lower than what he could do. So I still think lower density is a plus for the project. I like the way it looks, and this is not upzoning in a residential neighborhood.
Well, I think it is upzoning. We are going from one unit to 12. And we didn't say only in residential. We have taken property on the beach that was not developed, and we have taken it back to its original zoning. And we have done that up and down the beach when projects did not take place, and when we have gone back to the original zoning. So we have not upzoned everywhere on the beach. So this is a difficult situation. And I understand both sides. I was here for the Planning Commission meeting when this was discussed, and listened to the residents that live a little further down that did not want this to happen because it's a slippery slope. You open the door a little bit to upzoning, then how do you tell the next person when they want to do a little bit more? Well, oh, this is okay, or a little bit more. And because we have said we are not going to upzone, I have to look at my residents that we've been saying this to for the last few years and say, well, this time it was okay, but this time it's not. I can't do that. So I have to stick with what we have said we're going to do. And I think this is a difficult situation because I understand Greg's position, I understand where it is. But it's a slippery slope to me, and I have to stick by what we've been doing. I can't lay down at night and say, well, you know, sometimes it's okay to do it, sometimes it's not. If we're going to stick by our guns about upzoning, then I think I have to do that personally.
Anyone else?
For those of you who may not know, I serve on the Planning Commission. I am the council liaison to that commission. And so this is the second time that I have heard Mr. Kennedy's plea. And Mr. Kennedy, this is not a reflection on you or your building ability. You are an upstanding member of this community, and I appreciate every investment you make here. Today is the first time I have ever heard that we are not going to upzone unless it's not to protect a neighborhood. I've never heard that before. We in Orange Beach have precious little control over density. And it was my opinion that I stood with my councilman in that one thing we can do, we cannot interfere with property owners' rights. We cannot interfere with the current zoning. On the Broken Arrow property, we made the best compromise we could on a high density property next to a commercial to a residential neighborhood. We only can control not upzoning the property. It doesn't matter who's around it, and I see individual homes. They are allowed to rent because they're in the beach overlay district. And forgive me, but I don't know how you and Griffin did not find more properties, because I know of other properties on the beach road who would love to upzone, who are next to high density, across from general business. It doesn't matter to me where this property is. The only way I can help control density in Orange Beach is to not upzone the property. And I apologize if that is in direct conflict with your ambitions. I could never vote to upzone this.
I know. I understand. I think this is, I think it's unique, and we looked up and down the beach. We found expanses of property. We found 925 feet that's this single-family residential. There's some further to the west, but these are big pieces. We did not find a piece that is one single lot that's surrounded by high-density and commercial. We didn't find it. The Kearns family, when everything there, and I know y'all remember, where Phoenix West was, that was all those little 24-foot wide buildings. You know, that was in the early 2000s. In fact, KO Investments put that property together and sold it to Gene Brett and Tillis and Tommy Robinson. And all of that in there was zoned single-family residential. And the Kearns family, they didn't apply. You know, they fell out of Nordic Villas. They didn't make it, you know, to the big game. But I think the only reason that they're not BR2 or PUD now is because they didn't ask back in early 2000. So I totally get everybody's position. I do. And I respectfully ask that y'all rezone this. I think it makes sense from the city standpoint. I think it makes sense for the property standpoint. It's not a conventional neighborhood. But I totally understand everybody's position. So, but we think it's a good project, and we're trying to make it happen.
Greg, it could have been because Mr. Kern didn't want that, and then now that he's passed away, you were saying you don't know why they didn't. He probably wanted to leave it like it was.
Well, no, I do know. They had it under contract with the folks with Mr. Gustafson, and part of the deal was they were going to remodel the house and end up with these other two down here. But then the market crashed, and some of those players got indicted. So I didn't, you know. So that's
there. You go.
That's anyway. So that was part of that. So,
well, I can argue this both ways and win or lose. Makes sense both ways. It's just that simple. It's zoned single family, but it's not single family. It's a hotel. It is a high rental and will be high rental property. It will be 25, 30 bedrooms for us over with or more. That's what it will be. That's not single family. It's on the beach. However, same time, we've said no upzoning. So do I put myself in a box when I know common sense tells me there's a better answer, but I'm going to stick by what I said, which is not the right decision? And I'm playing devil's advocate with myself, so y'all have to bear with me, listen to me, talk to myself here. But I appreciate the Planning Commission. Planning Commission is a recommendation only. I do think that they were absolutely honoring our policy of no upzoning. And I think that that is very much appreciated, that we have a Planning Commission that is autonomous, but at the same time honors the big picture of our zoning requests and philosophies. But either way we go, I think we have to say it is residential zoning, but it's not a residential use. And that's a fact. So, and it will not be a residential use going forward with whoever builds there. And there could easily be two 20-bedroom or two 30-bedroom homes built there. 15 on each side is plenty wide enough to divide it and have two duplexes, essentially. So,
So may I interrupt you, Mayor?
No, you can't. Let me finish, because I'll forget this thought if I don't. The one other thing I want to throw out there is, because I don't know what I want to do yet, the one other thing is, anytime we bring in a project with multiple owners, we create a situation where it's more and more difficult for it to ever become a 30-story high-rise. Because it's going to be impossible to get, if there was 11 there and 11 there, it's 2,200. It's probably going to be impossible to get 2,200 to ever agree on anything. And I'm always concerned. This council is what it is. 5 years from now, 4 years from now, 10 years from now, the next council may be totally different. And in my mind, I'm trying to decipher, do we create a situation that prevents another 30, not that they've got anything that's 30-story high-rises. There's places for them, and we want to selectively pick it. But that could happen. So those are my thoughts. And like I said, I'm arguing with myself.
If you change the zoning from RS1 to PUD, you've given them half the ticket, or maybe more.
Yeah. Can you put conditions on a PUD for future that says even in the case of time or natural disaster that they can, it can only go as large as you've allowed on this PUD?
No, an owner of property always has the right to request a PUD amendment. Now, that doesn't mean you have to grant it. You can put conditions on the PUD, but this owner or anybody, it's just like zoning. You know, you have property and it's zoned, and you always have the right to request a rezoning. Now, nothing requires the council to grant your request, but you always have the right.
Greg, you said something earlier about no one would want to live, and that's, if I could afford to live there and buy that house, I would want to live there as a single family resident.
Well, let me
would do it in a heartbeat.
Let me say
no,
this.
No, we're not. I'm sorry. I don't know what the chaos is next door.
To answer your question, I think we could deed restrict it.
Well, that's great. The question, as I understood it, is there some way we can lock this down forever and ever? And the question is no. Deed restrictions aren't binding on the city.
Right.
So.
Well, I say that because of my dealings with people who have deed restrictions. I'm sure y'all know the Pilchers. So I didn't know. It may be a way that we could put it in the restricted covenants or deed restrict the property to exactly the site plan that's there. Now, that doesn't mean somebody couldn't sue and go get a judge to say. I mean, a judge has the ultimate decision, but I think that's one more hurdle, and we would be willing to do that.
I think we have to assume there is no control of that property going forward from any elected body. The only control will be from the owners of that property. I think we have to assume that.
Well, and you made a good point, Mayor. To get 11 people headed in the right direction is monumental. 23 is impossible.
I agree, but also disagree. Money talks. So it has talked in every situation. I mean, that's what we got in the mess we got in after the downfall in 08. Of all the people that were willing to sign, you may have had one or two holdouts, but those were old families. These are all new people that are investors. It's not like the old days in a sense. But, you know, in a situation where it is as new as this, the right amount of money in a unit in a condo, they'd probably walk.
It had to be a big, big check. We're dealing with it, and on another side right now, and we can't get them all headed in the right direction, you know. But you're right.
Well, Against the Wind is still fighting, and it's been since Frederick.
Well, they shouldn't use that name.
So, yeah.
And that's enough.
But that's the example right there of trying to get to, and that's only 12 owners, I think.
Yeah.
So.
But we respectfully ask that, you know, y'all consider this. We think it's a good project, and we think it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, we appreciate it, Greg, but I can easily vote no on this because that's what we said. I can easily vote yes and say, well, it makes sense for long term. I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to have to eat something first because I can't make a decision like that on an empty stomach. So,
well,
anybody else got anything to say?
I want to say something to Greg. That same night at Planning Commission, you had another project there, and I just want to commend you for how you handled yourself when the tree was brought up about taking down. Do you remember that? About taking down that tree and that project, and you said I can't stand before God and explain why I cut that tree. I appreciate that. I really did.
I thought you meant when he walked up and said that he had zoned some properties.
No, this was another project he had that same night. And
those big pretty trees, you know.
I appreciate that. I want you to know.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it, buddy. Anybody else like Annette? You tried to interrupt me, and then I said no, but now you can.
Well, now I'm not interrupting.
As it should be.
I guess what I would like to remind everyone
is that prior to this proposal, and I believe two others, you spoke to the Planning Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an open exchange of the problems of density and what we could do, still honoring property rights, still honoring our citizens, and upholding the no upzoning was the number one item. And I would ask you to stand by that.
But there is no such thing as no exception to every rule. Well, there's always an exception. And that's why we are elected. We're elected to decide based on what's in front of us. A robot can make a decision based on what you program it to do. We're supposed to base our decisions on what's in front of us. How does it affect us long term? And is it good or bad? I'm not saying good or bad, but I'm saying if there's an upzoning that is legitimate and has a positive effect long term, as opposed to a saying no because I said so, I disagree. I think this is one that could be a yes because it has a positive effect down the road.
And again, I remind you, now argument. I am interrupting, but I again remind you that we have precious few tools to control density. And this is the legitimate tool that we have. And we have it at hand. And I can think of other properties that could bring this argument right before us again. And to me, that is not why we're here. You're right, a robot could do our jobs. If it was black and white, a robot could do it. Nothing about what we do is black and white. Everything we do is because we think it's the best decision for Orange Beach. And whether I'm the one that has the best decision or anyone else sitting with me, we all work very hard to make the best decision we can for our citizens in Orange Beach.
My retort is we approved a PUD with 5-foot setbacks, which we all abhor, so we would not want to do it because it was best density-wise in the long run.
It was the best of both burdens.
Exactly. My argument is by increasing density here, do you decrease density in the long run? And I'm not asking you to answer that.
I cannot make any legislation for the future. All I can do is look at what I have before me.
And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm saying, again, that it is an argument that I have to consider as increasing density today, decreasing density in the future. And I have to consider that in my decision, period. And I do think by doing that, I am honoring my word when I say no upzone, because that's what I was elected to do, is to make a decision, and the hard ones, and some people don't like them, some do, but that's what I do. That's what we all do.
I appreciate you and Jody, both of your input and your stand, and in the 6 years that I've sat here, every situation we have done everything we can to eliminate future higher density. And my decision is based on standing out there right at the corner right next to Phoenix when I went down there and just kind of going, what could, what will, what does it feel like? And when you look at that whole situation, it just made total sense to me. You've heard me fight in neighborhoods and fight against setbacks in every situation of property rights. I get it, but I stand with Tony in the sense of, I think if we put the cottages there, you got a lot better chance of taking both of those pieces of property with half the amount of people to come in the future and put a big condo there. You put this there, and it's going to be there for 20, 25 years, if not more. And I think we're making a wiser move moving forward. When you look at that house and see what's going on with it, and then you go look at those big, huge houses as you're going towards the Floribama, that big, you're just going to see a duplication of that here. In essence, and this just looks better with the cottages, it makes more sense, and it flows better. And that's how I made my decision. That's what I judged it on. I do appreciate y'all's input.
But I see it a little bit different than you guys, because you combine this and make it one PUD, then you're almost guaranteeing that the density is going to increase. You've got an opportunity now to keep it as an RS1 next to a PUD. You combine them together, which is what they want to do, then you increase the odds that somewhere down the road this is going to grow even bigger.
But that's what all of the properties next to it, Nordic Villa, are about.
They're about rentals for single families on the beach, and there is a market for that as well.
So was Hammock One. Look at that.
And so, like, just like the ones by four, I have no problem with it being a residence that is a rental. I mean, that's what it is. It's what it's been.
But it's not a residence for a single family.
No,
it's a rental for 15 single families at one time. 40 people, 50 people. I mean,
but you combine them and you make them one PUD, then you bar the door, it's already a PUD.
Well, so, but I mean, the same, yeah, and I do follow your logic, but my point is if they want a condo there and they come in, they have one owner on that property to convince to come in to the others if they do get 11 people come on board if they want to sell their property. It's no different to upzone from a PUD and a single family to a single PUD as it is to do the PUD, a PUD where it involves both of them to a different type of PUD. It's still a rezoning no matter what and an increase in density. Either way, it's a rezoning. But, you know, it bothers me a little bit that we... You know, this is nothing more than six people looking at something and trying to make a decision what's best long term. And that's why I said, I don't think there's a wrong decision. And any decision I make or any decision you make is not right or wrong. It's just our thought on what's best long term. And don't resent anybody's vote.
And we will agree to disagree.
Yeah, that's just the way I see it.
Yes.
But anybody else? Bill, I know you're on Planning Commission. Your thoughts?
Yes, thank you. I've served on the Planning Commission for coming up on 8 years. I will put this decision in the top five that I've ever had to make.
Mm-hmm.
I am, like many of you, a property rights guy. I'm an old builder. I know what it means. But I was also trying to honor what you all have been telling us.
Exactly.
I also am the one that votes the first. I'm the first vote. That is one tough damn place to be sometimes. This one was really
hard.
So
was the last one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It never comes down to that, though. But I could have voted, like you, Mayor, I could have voted either way on this thing. I could have. But I was really trying to follow what we were being told.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Anyone else? Because the floor is open. If y'all would like to, anyone would like to comment? Yes, sir, Pastor Jim.
My concern is the upzoning, just because we have a number of houses, residential, and they have a big for sale sign, trying to say that they might be able to get it upgraded for condos right across from the church, and I'm just afraid. Start here, and then eventually, well, they did it there. Because, I mean, even in those residential, you have the turquoise parking, which, if I recall, is supposed to be for 2 years, and they're supposed to have a plan. So I don't know if we're getting any plan with that, but that's a different story than what we're talking
about. And I'll answer that before you go, just so you'll know.
Okay. But I'm just... afraid that once we start the upzoning, then it's going to extend to bigger pieces of property, and that'll be when the 30 stories goes up, that's going to make the ambiance of the church a whole lot different. So.
It was a three-year, I think, deal with turquoise. They have... engaged an engineering firm to draw their parking deck, so we gave them an extension, I think, or looking at an extension until they, I don't know, maybe, has it come
next
up?
Next year.
So they hopefully will have drawings and be ready to build a parking deck and they won't be using that. We have been approached many times about upzoning that property there across from you. I've never, I I've always said I have no interest in even considering it. Go to, if another council member wants to bring it up, we will, but we've turned it down. And believe me, it happens every week almost. So we have turned that down over and over. But I do, the only disagreement I have, what you say, there's a big difference from 11 cottages and upzoning to a condominium. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I mean, I don't think condominiums are evil. I think at some point in time in the future, there's going to be growth on the beach. I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime or my term, but I do want us to try to do a good job of managing and preparing for that growth, or trying to know where it's best that growth take place. And so I take all that into consideration. But, yes, sir, please.
And I'm not trying to be inconsiderate, but the condos, I also believe will come across there. I just want to make sure that we have a way of limiting the height if that ever happens. But for right now, I hope it doesn't happen by not having any upzoning. Mm-hmm. If that's what you're going to do, then it'll... I'm just afraid that the snowball will start, or the sandball, because we don't have snow around here. But anyway, just...
I appreciate
that's my
it.
Concern.
And it is a legitimate concern, and we respect it.
Thank you, Father.
But I want you to know, we have... we get that asked all the time of those properties all through there. Anyone else like to add or converse? Okay, close the floor, and we'll move on. Anything else, guys? Okay, first reading under ordinances. Ordinance amending ordinance number 172, the zoning ordinance, Public Works Department property.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow immediate consideration of the ordinance.
Second.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Any discussion? Please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes. First reading, ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Broken Sound PUD, final approval. Okay, first reading, ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Hammock Dunes PUD Phase 2. Okay.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
No.
Councilmember Costa?
No.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes. All right, moving to... All right, we're going to adjourn and move straight into the committee of the whole. So, without a break, so do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, committee of the whole is called to order Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019. Consideration of previous minutes from 8/20/19, work session, regular council meeting, committee of the whole. We move forward for review. Guys, we will need an executive session tonight to discuss multiple things about real estate and purchases. Moving to resolutions, resolution appropriating funds for the Mako Arts Athletics Club, $48,000.
I'm sorry, just for the record, can I do roll call?
Yeah, you bought it.
Councilmember Silvers.
Here.
Councilmember Johnson.
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell.
Here.
Councilmember Costa.
Here.
Councilmember Boyd.
Here.
Mayor Kennan.
Here. Okay, resolution appropriating fund, Mako Academics Arts Athletics Club, $48,991.61. Resolution appropriating funds for Expect Excellence Program, $200,000. Resolution authorizing execution of software license agreement with Active Network, point of sale, activity registration, faculty reservation software. Any concerns on any of those thoughts?
Could discussion? We talk about that a little bit? Because that is a big deal for the city.
Which one? Number three?
The software.
The Active Network software.
I'm good with that.
Ford, do you want to talk about?
This software is basically going to take over for all of the, one of the goals that we have in the city right now is we have several credit card machines that are spread out through all of our facilities. This would consolidate this for all of our residents. And moving forward, if you have a child that plays sports at soccer or does something at art camp or sail camp, the parent would be able to log in and see all the different things that the city offers. It consolidates everything under one umbrella, and hopefully moving forward we would be able to add in other programs such as Expect Excellence and then add point of sale systems at the Sportsplex and other areas in the future.
So they go to the website and they see they want to do these X number of activities. They can select them. We will get to the point where they can select it. It goes into a cart, and then they can pay with a credit card.
And that's correct. And so then also, if we needed to figure out child one was registered in one thing, once you set up your account as a parent, it's always there. So, again, that becomes easier on the parents moving forward in the future, especially over several years when you are signing up for different activities.
And the concession stands.
And the concession stands, we would ideally get to where we're accepting credit cards there.
Mm. Will mom be able to, has a kid set up in the school system, say put $100 on a card so all the football games and soccer games they go to, they can just use that, their kid can use it at the concession stand?
I'm not sure about that option right now, but we can definitely look into that.
Any other thoughts?
Thank you, Ford.
Thank you.
Resolution authorizing the execution of a cooperative service agreement, U.S. Department of Agriculture, Cavity Management Plan. Resolution appointing Frederick Gatch to the Library Board.
Yes, he's here with us tonight. Fred, will you stand up? We appreciate your willingness to serve on the Library Board. And,
Thank you, Mr. Gatch.
I've sent everyone your bio. So,
a very good
they
resume.
They know all about you now.
A very good resume. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Fred's been working with us in the Friends Group forever. He's always been a great asset.
Great. Good. Great. Resolution, I'm sorry, we're moving to ordinance. Reminder. Public hearing, Cotton Bayou Cottages, preliminary PUD, the Bluffs, Orange Beach PUD, Robinson Grove PUD, September 17th, 2019. All good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And before we move into executive session, we'll open the floor one more time for anything about anything. Yes, sir.
Do you have any communication from the post office about how they can account for people? I didn't know this mail that's not even an Alberta.
I couldn't hear that. I'm sorry, Herb.
Last week, our mail, was it Gulf Shores and Orange Beach's mail, was part of a fire on the bridge from an accident. And he's asking, do people know that they might be missing some mail? Have we heard anything?
I didn't know it was on mail.
You didn't know it happened?
Herb, if I owe you any money, I didn't get the bill.
Yeah, we can stretch that out for the next 5 years.
Well, you know, if you think about it, there's no way to find out.
Right.
I've never heard of it happening before. I was kind of thinking the other day, going, "What in the world? You not get that bill or not get that letter?"
So the mail delivery truck coming over the Holmes Bridge caught on fire.
Yep, and all mail destroyed.
All mail.
My Rouse's flyer didn't come.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Wow.
Sad.
Wow.
They were delivering first class in Carvel.
Sure.
Wow.
Well, we will. No one's contacted us that I know of, so we'll get on the phone and see what we can find out. So our postmaster should be able to. I would have thought our postmaster would have called us and talked to
us
about it,
but
we will chase that down. Thank you, Herb. Somebody else had their hand up, too. Yes, sir, Mr. Beal.
I have a real concern for what Ms. Kitt talked about earlier with Mediacom, the problems. I'm afraid there may be another issue. If you could have heard the conversation that Ms. Jeffries had with them today. They are not going to be very happy to work with anybody in Orange Beach.
Okay.
But she got it fixed. So.
Well, good for Ms. Jeffries. And she's
lots of problems with Mediacom.
We need her on our negotiating team.
Tell Ms. Jeffries we appreciate her.
No.
decanter in delivering a good message.
I'm in the same room with it quite yet. I heard words I didn't even know existed.
Anyone else? I thought I saw another hand.
Remind somewhere. Me not to make her mad.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session to discuss real estate negotiations and your disclaimer and purchases. Okay, 10 to 15 to 30 minutes to an hour.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we are adjourned.